A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a manager who was reported to him for dissipating his property. He summoned him and he said, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your stewardship, for it is about to come to an end.' The manager thought to himself, 'What shall I do next? My employer is sure to dismiss me. I cannot dig ditches. I'm ashamed to go begging.' 'I have it,' he said. 'Here is a way to make sure that people will take me into their homes when I am let go.' And so he called in each of his master's debtors, and he said to the first one, 'How much do you owe my master?' The man replied, 100 jars of oil. The manager said, 'Take your invoice, sit down quickly, and make it 50. And then he said to a second, 'How much do you owe?' And the answer came, 100 measures of wheat. And the manager said, 'Take your invoice and write 80. The owner then gave his devious employee credit for being enterprising. Why? Because the worldly take more initiative than the otherworldly when it comes to dealing with their own kind. What I say to you is this: make friends for yourselves through the use of the world's goods, so that when they fail you, a lasting reception will be yours. If you can trust a man in little things, you can trust him in greater. While anyone unjust in a slight matter will also be unjust in greater. If you cannot be trusted with elusive wealth, who will trust you with lasting? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's money, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be attentive to the one and despise the other. You cannot give yourself to God and money." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to take a look at the first reading, which is the setup, really, for the gospel. Prophet Amos says, "Hear this, you who trample on the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that you may sell your grain, and the Sabbath, that you may display the wheat? We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating." That was pretty clear, and we can see perhaps some of the connection with the gospel. Coming from the prophet Amos saying, when will the festival be over? When will the Sabbath be over so that we can go back to our own things? It's a great thought. We might see it in the gospel. Anybody here understand the gospel, the whole of that gospel? Good. I don't either. And there has been more written about it than any other aspect, perhaps, in Luke's gospel. It's gotten a lot of attention. It doesn't appear in Matthew's gospel, and it doesn't appear in Mark's, as many of the other stories do. So it leaves a lot of questions. There are a lot of nuances in there. We can't go back to Matthew and say, well, does he provide a better insight, or Mark? We just have Luke's version to work on. And the question that seems to jump out is, do you think Jesus was commending the unjust steward for his craftiness? That's a way to quiet things down, right? You think he was? You think Jesus, well, I mean, the words in the gospel say the master of the household commended him for being crafty and for being cagey in dealing with his own people, being manipulative. Was Jesus saying that? Or was it just the story and maybe the owner of the household? Maybe he was an absentee landlord. Maybe he was into just careless attitudes himself. Maybe the steward was becoming like his master, taking advantage of other people. The details are not worked out there. So it would be very easy to slide over it. Be very easy to slide over the whole parable and say, well, that was interesting, but let's move on to next week's. But I would much rather stay with it and say, what might really be going on here? On Tuesday, we looked at the second part at our staff meeting for our Lectio Divina, and that's a much easier portion. You know, about being honest in little things, and if we are honest in little things, possibility of being honest in larger things, certainly much more significant. Conversely, not being honest in little things, the possibility of not being honest in more significant things as well. And then it would be very easy to go to the default. I'm sure a lot of us as priests go to the default on this gospel. And we can easily preach about you can't serve God and money at the same time. And there are lots of examples. But what about this steward? What might Jesus be saying to you as you read the gospel again? I challenged you in the bulletin this week. Read this gospel again. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. What might the Lord be saying to you in this? Because he wouldn't fail to speak to us. And as I looked at it more and more during the course of the week, I began to see something I'd never looked at before. And I thought, why, what if I am that steward? And somebody turns me in and reports me. What would they say about me? Good, bad, indifferent. Where would they say I have squandered? Where would they say I haven't used what has been given? How is it like last week's parable or any one of the trilogy last week? Remember? The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. Connected particularly to the lost son, maybe, that we have so much difficulty with. Because it was about possessions and things and inheritance. And it was about things freely given, being entrusted to. So what if I am that steward to whom this is entrusted? And Jesus was addressing it to each individual, saying, you are the steward. Give me an account of your stewardship. And what if other people were good enough and kind enough to give him an account of our stewardship? Yes, other people like to take our inventory. In fact, we kind of developed the habit of being better at taking other people's inventory than our own. Right? No, you're not sure? Hey, think about it. Sure. So easy to slide into that. So if other people reported, that is one thing. But what about self-reporting? He calls me in. One thing I know, he's not going to dismiss me, as in the case of the steward. He's going to say, hey, go back out and be a disciple again. I want to forgive you. And we have that process in place. We call it confession, reconciliation. And so it begs the question, when I go to confession, what are my hopes? When I attend or come to the sacrament of reconciliation and give an accounting of myself and my stewardship, he's not going to take it away from me and saying, you can't be Catholic anymore or anything like that. You can't be a disciple anymore. He's going to say, hey, why don't you go back out and be a disciple again? Maybe the little nuance in the parable, there was no intent on that man's part, it would appear, to change. Before he even left the employment, he was looking at, how could I use the same methods to get me by? That's a real human thing. How do we ever hope for or expect or anticipate change in our lives? Sacrament of Reconciliation is a great invitation, a great call to that. But do I come out of there hopeful that I'm going to change any of those behaviors? Is that what he has in mind? That I would really attempt to change some of those behaviors? Then I can see the parable in a new light. God bless him, the steward, he was thinking, how can I just keep working these same things and the same method, even though I'm being moved out of my post? How can I hold on to the same old habits? That would be the question. Dostoevsky, the great Russian author, says, for the most part, we essentially spend the second half of our lives living out the habits that we have cultivated or developed in the first half of our lives. Wouldn't that be shocking? And yet there's a great truth in it. The man in the gospel, that was the real struggle at his core. The man here, the steward, that's a real struggle for me too. What is the hope of the sacrament of reconciliation? Maybe that is it in terms of the way we might understand this parable in our church, in our community, and very personally in our own lives. As he calls us in to give an account of our stewardship, but not to judge us, but so that he can forgive and reconcile us. And then says, go back out and do more of the same, but be renewed and know how much I love you in doing it.